Our Father, we thank you for your kindness today that's brought us to this place. And as we have already been reminded this very day, that the only righteousness, Lord, that we have or hope to stand in is that which you bestow upon your people. And Lord, indeed, this is a coat that is woven by thy hand and is of such beauty and of such worth that it cannot be purchased by men, nor can it in any wise be appreciated except that you should give a man eyes to behold it in the beauty that it is. And Lord, we desire that you might clothe upon us with thy righteousness, lest we stand before thee naked, and Lord, with nothing to plead. Lord, we thank you for your kindness to us. We pray that you might cause the gospel to go forth in power. Lord, that you might cause your people to hear it and rejoice in it. For sweet is that sound to all those who have ears to hear it. Blessed be the name of the Lord, both now and forever. May you have glory in this place. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll read a question that is never asked today. And this was when the Lord went through the cities. This is in Luke chapter 13, verse 22. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? Now, I would set forth before you this day that that's not a question that the natural man would ever ask. It's not a question that is entertained by the majority of religious thinking in our day. Because there is an assumption on the part of many that the Lord, it wants to save everybody so bad that why would it be ever asked the question, are there few that be saved? Well, of course there's not going to be few that's going to be saved. I mean, the thinking of the natural man is, well, I mean, God, he's doing everything he can to try to save everybody. I mean, why would he, how could that possibly be? Surely he's going to save most people. And so there's an assumption on the part of religious people. I'm not talking about the world. The world doesn't care anything about what we're talking about here today. I mean, they could care less, you know, what's going on with what we're preaching or anybody else is preaching. But religious men, they are interested in these things to some degree and from one perspective or another. That's just the natural way that it is. Now, this question was asked, and the Lord answered the question with these words. And, of course, this has been on my mind of late as we've been studying through the book of Pilgrim's Progress in the afternoons. And that was what the evangelist told Christian that he needed to do, was go find that narrow gate and go through it. And so he says here, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter it and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know ye not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first that shall be last. Now we know that this was primarily and specifically addressed to the Jews and their understanding that they were the chosen people of God. And so that the Lord was telling them that they were mistaken, that the way to salvation was not in those things that they thought, which was by natural birth and by the observance of all of the laws and things that the Lord had set down in the Old Testament law for them to accomplish. And so they thought that by doing these things, they would enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so the question was asked, are there few that be saved? Because they had the notion that there was going to be few that would be saved, but they thought the few that would be saved would be the Jews. Now there are those that believe that there are a few that will be saved, but they think that the few that will be saved includes them. Now, the thing that I want us to concentrate on here this morning is the understanding that there are a few that be saved. Salvation is a precious thing. It's not something that you're going to happen up on. It's not something that is going to just be easily obtained. And yet it's free. And not a thing in the world that a man can do to get it. But yet the Lord said there are few that be saved. Over in chapter 7 of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7, he basically said the same thing again. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, that inwardly, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, if reading these passages of Scripture do not cause you a little discomfort and a little disconcertation, then I would dare to say that you have not been stirred very much by the Spirit of the living God, because the purpose of these things that the Lord has set forth before us is to remind us that the kingdom of heaven is not taken by men. It is not entered into according to the free will and purpose of men, but it is given to men by the grace and mercy of Almighty God. Now, he said there's few that find it. Yet we read in the book of the Revelation that there was a multitude which no man could number. So few is a relative number. There's not few in the sense that there's only 10 or 12, because there's millions according to what the The Scripture says, but there's few compared to the number of people that there are in the earth. He said, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth to life eternal. It's not broad. Now, if we listen much, you can hear somebody tell you, oh, okay, there's about 15 different ways, all of them involving something for you to do that will get you into the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord's trying to get people into heaven so bad that He'll just take anybody at any time. But I'm here to tell you that that's not the picture that He paints out right here. Now, there was few saved in the day of Noah. Think about that. I don't know how many people was in the world at the time of Noah. It was a bunch. It was in the millions, I'm sure. I've seen some calculations that some have done with, you know, taking the number of years people lived and the number of children that they had, kind of averaging it out and actually, some people believe the population of during the time of Noah was greater than it is today. How many people were saved? 8 people. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a serious thought there. A serious thought. Because you see, men want to think they've got some value to them, that somehow or other they offer something to God that God needs. Or that God desires. God has no desires. He said, if I was hungry, would I tell you? If I needed something, would I come to you? He said, no. That is a solemn thing, dear Brett. And, you know, it's not about, oh, well, we've entered into the, we've got the proper doctrine and we've got the proper understanding and therefore we are the children of God. No, no. Oh, no, the Jews had the proper doctrine. Don't you misunderstand that for a moment. The Lord delivered to the truth to the Jews, and the Jews in the letter walked in it. They saw it. They knew what it was. They were zealous for it. They were sincere. I have had people say, well, you think you're the only one that's saved? No, I don't think I'm the only one that's saved. I don't even know if I'm saved. Sometimes, maybe most of the time, I can't go climb up to heaven and read my name written up there. I want it to be there. The Lord's given me a desire and a hunger for those things, given me a hope in Christ. He's called me to see Christ as the way of eternal life. If a man can perish in that situation, then it's possible that I might perish. Now, I have confidence in some degree that according to the Word of God, that those to whom the Lord is pleased to reveal Christ as the Savior of sinners, He's also pleased to own as His own. Because that's the means whereby the Lord shows and teaches His people who they are. But oh, you see, it's not according to all the things that I know and all the things that I do. It's not about having decided, well, I'm going to make a decision, you know, I'm going to make a profession of faith. Now, that's a big thing in our day. Has been throughout my lifetime. I've heard that from the time I was that high. All you got to do is make a profession of faith. And multitudes upon multitudes of people have made professions of faith. And some have said, oh, are you questioning whether or not they're the children of God? Yes. Dear brethren, because that has no effect or it doesn't make any difference about all that. The Lord didn't say because you made a profession of faith. He said strive to enter in at the narrow gate. That's what evangelist told Christian. He said go to that yonder wicked gate and seek to go in it. Because he said, I tell you, there's some that will try to get in it and won't be able to. Now, dear brethren, if that's not a sobering thought, then you haven't thought much about it. He said that to the Jews. He said, some of you want to go into the kingdom of God, but you cannot do it. Because straight is the gate, and there is a way that leadeth to life eternal, and few there be that find it. No. Being a follower of Christ is not a common thing, dear brethren. It's not the norm. Now, you can hear folks talk about America's a Christian nation. There's no such thing. America's not a Christian nation. Now, there were no doubt men who believed the things of God who were present when our country was established, and as best they could, they established our nation upon the principles and things that they believed to be true. But we're not a Christian nation. We're not just Christians on the basis of the fact that we belong to the United States. But you see, that's the prevailing line of thought. But that's not so. Because straight is the gate, and there's the way, and few there be that find it. It's not about nations. It's not about the things that we know and understand. It's not about the doctrine that we believe. You can learn doctrine. I hope you do learn some. You need to learn some. Doctrine's a good thing. Doctrine's teaching. You need to know what the Bible says. But I tell you this, you can know what the Bible says and it won't do you a lick of good. The Pharisees knew it. But they knocked on the door and the Lord said, go away. What did He say about them? He said, I never knew you. He said, many are called, but few are chosen. Is that a scary thought? Well, sure it is. I mean, any man that knows himself to be a sinner, unworthy of the least of the Lord's mercies, has got to tremble when he hears those words. He said many. He didn't say few. He said many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord. Many. Now, he contrasted many with few, did he not? He didn't say few. There's going to be a few that's going to say, Lord, aren't we? Why, I mean, the preacher said that if I'd make this decision and be baptized and join the church and go to church every now and then, that everything would be all right. He said, many. Dear brethren, the world's full of religious folks. I find religion welling up within me every day. I find myself loving religion. But I'm telling you, it's the biggest enemy to the seeking the kingdom of God that has ever been devised among men. Many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord. They knew enough to call him Lord, didn't they? I mean, they wasn't the people out there, you know, in the profligacy of the world. They wasn't the people out there that was avowed enemies of God, were they? No, they were the people that were studying the Bible. They was people that was going to church every Sunday or every Saturday. I mean, that was the people that was doing the things that was supposed to be doing. And the Lord said, many. She'll say, well, haven't we done all these things? And the Lord's not going to say, no, you never did those things. Because that's not going to make any difference. The only thing He's going to say is, I never knew you. He said in that the trees would be burnt. And He said, if green trees are burnt, what's going to be done with the dry? He said, now's the time, Peter wrote, for judgment to begin at the house of God. Now's the time for judgment to begin at the house of God. That's why Paul said, examine yourselves to see if you be in the faith. Dear brethren, don't take it for granted. Don't think that because of something you've done or something you had in the past or something you got at the present time, whatever it is, don't take it for granted. Don't think that these things are those things which are of the kingdom of God. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For there is a straight gate. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. But then He said something else. He said something else. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now, doesn't that seem somewhat in contrast when He said many shall seek to enter therein and can't do it? Doesn't something seem odd about that? Nothing odd about it at all. Because He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Because you see, it's the work of God in a man. To stir him up. To seek the Lord. And when the Lord seeks a man, when the Lord stirs up a man and to seek him, when He seeks men, you see, the Lord does seek men. I'm glad that He does. Yes. Oh, I'm glad that He does. I saw a little sticker you probably all seen that says, wise men still seek Him. Well, there's an element of truth in that. You know, there's an element of truth in that. But I tell you what gives me, I don't take much comfort in that because I know I'm not a wise man. But I'll tell you what does give me comfort is that the Lord seeks sinners. He came seeking to save that which was lost. Dear brethren, I can't find anything in all the earth that brings me more comfort than to consider that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world and took upon Himself flesh and blood and bore the sin of His people and paid their sin debt. And now He seeketh sinners. He said He came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. He seeketh such as worship Him in spirit and truth. You see, the Lord, He does leave the 99 that was already in the fold, and He goes out on the mountains till He finds that sheep that was lost. Oh, what a glorious thing. Are there few that be saved? The Lord said there were. He said, narrow is the gate. Few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Yeah. What is it that a man has to bring to the Lord? Not a thing in the world. I guess the most, the part of the one verse, they had to pick one verse out of this song. It says, no art of man can weave this robe. 'Tis of such texture fine, nor could the wealth of all this globe by purchase make it mine. 'Tis of one piece of wove throughout, so curious wove that none can dress up in this seamless coat till Jesus put it on. Oh, what a glorious Savior we have. He's the Savior of sinners. And dear brethren, there's no hope in this world. This world is a place that is headed for destruction just as sure as we're standing here. I don't know. You know, people get all up arms, and I'm one of them from time to time. I get to thinking about these things. Say, oh, what are we going to do if Obama gets elected? It ain't going to make no difference if Obama gets elected or whoever gets elected in reality. It might be a short-term difference. But I'm telling you, this world's slated for destruction and we're headed down the road at breakneck speed. Yeah. It doesn't make any difference who gets in the White House. It doesn't make any difference what the United Nations does or anybody else. How many people shoot folks in a theater or what happens? These are but the signs of the times that show God's people that this world is passing away rapidly. Are there few that be saved? According to what the Lord said, there most certainly are. May the Lord give us grace.